No, Laurent, what are we celebrating?
Well, we are celebrating the first show, the success of our first show. I think this was fabulous. I was completely overwhelmed by the response we got.
I can hardly believe the number of feedbacks we've got. It's amazing. We've got more than 300 downloads already after only 2 weeks.
Well, actually, I wouldn't even know where to look that up, but what I looked at was the Frapper map.
Yeah,
and the
Frapper
map looked really cool, actually. I think we have something like
25. We've got actually 25 people
entries.
From all over the world.
And these are people who have actually taken the time to put their pin on that Frapper map,
yeah,
which is
amazing.
Thank
you very much for that.
Well, maybe we can have a look at it and say some of the countries.
All right,
I remember, well, of course, there's Germany.
Yeah, we've got... what else? Sweden.
Iceland.
Denmark.
India. Colombia, I see. That's Colombia.
Yeah, Argentina.
USA.
USA, we've got...
I don't know. Have we ever already said Morocco?
Yeah. No, we haven't.
Ireland.
But there's one in Morocco. Denmark. Did I say Denmark?
What else do we have? Oh, on the far right there, we've got, what's that? Lithuania.
Lithuania.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
France. I think there was
so
one in
people.
Australia, which has disappeared.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe we scared them away. I don't
okay.
know what it is, really. So we've got something like 15 nationalities and 25 people on the Frapper map.
That's really great.
That's almost every continent there. So that's amazing. And did you have a look at the comments?
Yes, we have 17 comments.
That's
17
amazing.
Comments and only two postings.
And this is not like Hello World or something.
No,
but
real,
this is actually
real
people.
Comments. Yeah.
This is like 15 lines, and they were talking about the tapas. And well, maybe we should talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, definitely. But I think, Lawrence, it's time to start the show.
Okay. Welcome back to Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast where we explore everything to do with intercultural awareness. As you heard, we have listeners in North and South America, in Europe and in India, and we also have some great feedback, and we want to look at that right now. So best of all, we have had some answers to our intercultural puzzle. Maybe you remember this. It was, when do the Spanish sleep? Because that seemed to be something which we couldn't figure out when we were in Spain. So thank you to Angela and Laura, who said...
We don't have our siesta during the day because there's not enough time. But it's true that we like to relax and sleep a bit after having lunch, especially at the weekend.
So that's the answer, isn't it? The Spanish people seem to catch up at the weekend. Then we got this tip from Maria and Nacho.
You have to get used to the siesta time if you don't want to be or look like a foreigner.
Well, of course, we tried not to look like foreigners at all. So this was our first tip about how to fit in Spain. Nats and Via also gave us some practical reasons for the siesta. They told us...
We have our siestas not only because we are tired, but also because of the weather. It's too hot outside in summer.
We also got some feedback about our piece on tapas. The gist of it was...
Don't forget to try real Spanish food, because the tapas are only an appetizer.
Oh, gosh. You are absolutely right. Of course, we got some really good food there as well.
We did.
We also had a heartfelt plea from Irene and Masha, who implored us...
So please, when you come here, don't eat in a McDonald's.
Rest assured, we didn't.
We
had really wonderful food while we were there. Now, Fernando is from Spain, and he's doing a practical training in Germany right now. He even sent us an audio feedback, and this is an invitation to all of you out there. Please do the same. He has made some very interesting experiences with something that many of us won't even think about much. Olive oil.
Hola. My name is Fernando, and I'm Spanish. I got really curious about this show a few days ago when a friend of mine told me that he had just subscribed to a new podcast talking about intercultural issues, including Spanish tapas. I couldn't believe it. Can you really combine all those two things at the same time? But... it was really, really big fun listening to people talking about other cultures, because I can completely understand that everything might look so differently when you're abroad. In fact, sometimes I get very surprised by how my German friends deal with my own culture. For example, olive oil in Spain is very common, and here in Germany it's not that common, but at the same time... a few weeks ago, a friend invited me to an olive oil tasting party. I mean, I didn't know that that existed. And it was so funny that in Spain, we have olive oil every day in our kitchen, on our table, but we don't talk about olive oil. We don't praise it. So it is fascinating how people in different places deal with basically the same thing. Okay, that's all. So thank you to the guys of Absolutely Intercultural, because they are very, very interactive. So keep it up. Cheers!
Wow! Muchas gracias, Fernando. I use a lot of olive oil myself, and I'm a fan of olive oil, actually, and I have to find out where those olive oil tastings take place. So, as you can hear, we love getting feedback, in this case, even audio feedback, from you, and if you have any comments on this new episode number 2, then just go to our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com and click where it says comments. It's as easy as that. So this is what you will be listening to today for our column Absolutely Educational. We've interviewed Alexandra Haas, who is a project manager of Teaching Culture, a European project that looks at how intercultural awareness can be taught in adult education. We also hear about another European project that Ana Fernandez, a student from Spain, has taken part in. Right after that, we'll go to our gossip column, Absolutely Indiscreet. Tommy from Denmark will tell you why he had to change his holiday destination and even had to pass himself as a German in the end. Right after that, we listen to a short snippet for our Absolutely Addictive column. We'll hear an extract of Here on Earth, a show about solar-powered radios and how they help coffee farmers in Rwanda. Okay, so now let's get started with Absolutely Educational.
Hello, I'm here in Lyon with Alexandra Haas from Siegburg in Germany. And Alexandra, you didn't come here alone, did you?
No, I didn't. Hi, Anne. Actually, I'm here with a whole group of teachers who are here on a teacher training and they want to find out how they can teach culture.
Can you do that? Can you teach culture?
Well, yes and no. Unfortunately, there's no easy way to give input. People have to experience what intercultural communication is like to be able to put that into their own teaching. And that's what we want to try out with the teachers.
So can you give me an example of what you were doing? Because I find it difficult to imagine how you can teach culture.
Well, actually, we're setting up a schedule for them that gets them involved into Spanish culture as much as possible. A first thing would be that they have to find out how to get here, how to buy a bus ticket in Spain, how to get to a hotel, where to get a taxi, and so on and so on.
I imagine that some of them found that a little stressful.
Yeah, actually, they already found that a little stressful, but we had more to come. So, for example, we sent them to town with a little map and with a task. So they had to find their way around on their own, really to get the experience. What is it like to get to a new country, a new town, and be on your own and see how you can communicate?
So, by the way, if you want to know more about the project, you can go to the Teaching Culture website. Can you give the address?
Yes, that's www.teaching-culture.de. And there you can also see our travelogue. You can see how our teachers accompanied Spanish people around town, joined in their lives, had Spanish lessons, and so on and so on. So it's really worth a look.
Well, I can certainly say that it is worth a look because I've already had a sneak preview and you've done a wonderful job, it seems to me. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Now, that sounds like a very hands-on approach to me. If you'd like to know more about this project, you'll find a link to the Teaching Culture websites in our show notes. Well, while we were in Lyon, Carsten got hold of Anna to ask her some questions about an intercultural project she's been on recently.
Hi, my name is Carsten. I'm here in Lyon and I'm sitting next to Anna, who's been on an intercultural project recently. Anna, can you tell us a bit more about what you've done there?
Hi, I'm Ana Fernandez and I'm going to talk about our project. The name of the project was Economy Class, and we tried to convince a low-fare airline called Germanwings to have a flight between Germany and Spain, Lyon, of course, we're from there. And we tried to do a magazine, like the German Wings one, but about Lyon. We did it, and I think it was quite good. We looked up many information about Leon that we didn't know, but I think we did our best.
Well, I'd say so, and it sounds very interesting. Can you tell us a bit more about the project partners?
We work with people from Germany, Lithuanian and Swedish people. They help us in whatever the case, in photographs. We have to make a lot of pictures. We have to take a lot of pictures often, and it was difficult sometimes to have everything on time. But I think we do our best. We find we did the proposal, and I think it was a good experience, and we learned a lot from that, and we met lovely people there, just virtually.
I heard it went from virtual to real. Is that true?
The second part of the project was take place in Ireland, and we can meet there the people who are working with such a good time and such a long time. And it was pretty good. And we can learn a lot of things there.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Anna, is there anything left you'd like to say?
I just have to say two things. The first one is thanks for hearing. And the second one is come to Leon.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Leon is just beautiful. So if you haven't made up any plans for your next summer holiday, this might just be the place for you to go to. So the question in many parts of this show was, can intercultural awareness be taught in a classroom? Can it be taught in online courses? What kind of methodologies do we need to increase intercultural awareness? If you've made your own experiences with classes in intercultural awareness, please get in touch with us and share your stories either on our homepage or by sending us an audio file, like Fernando did. Wow, this is getting a little too educational. It's now time for some gossip. Anne asked Tommy from Denmark why he had to pass himself for a German on his last holiday.
In Denmark, lots of people like to go out for a holiday in the second week of February, and Tommy is no exception. Where did you want to go, Tommy?
We had planned a winter holiday going to Egypt.
And did you get there?
No, unfortunately we didn't.
Why not?
It was, it was a plan. Up to, there were a lot of writings with the Muhammad affair, where a big Danish newspaper have had some drawings in the paper, which has offended the Muslims. And that developed over a couple of months to the state where we started worrying about it, because suddenly we saw in the TV a Danish flag being burned and etc. And there's things we have never seen before. So we became nervous. So we started talking about if we could find an alternative. The problem is then that we couldn't go anywhere else because that company only had holidays to Egypt. So... But at least we got our money back, and then we could try and find another destination. Mm-hmm. But on that time, there were probably 20 or 30,000 Danes trying to do the same thing as well. Mm-hmm. So we talked a lot about what we should do, and we came up with the idea of going in camouflage, you could say, so disguised as Germans. So through the internet, we found a German travel agency and I booked our holiday through them.
Mm-hmm. And where did you go in the end?
We went to Gran Canaria instead.
And did you have a nice holiday?
That was excellent.
Good. And you didn't have anybody asking you about Danish cartoons?
No, not at all. We were in a group of Germans. I think there were one or two other Danish couples there, but we hardly saw any Danes there at all. So I think that was the right decision, because we kept thinking about that. Also, when we were on our holiday, we could see a little bit of TV there, and we could still see, well, we were quite sure that we haven't seen the end of this yet. So we didn't know, we wasn't sure where it would end. So therefore, we felt quite good being disguised as Germans.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, you don't very often hear that Danes disguise themselves as Germans. Now, let's switch from Gran Canaria to Rwanda, where radios are about to change the life of the local coffee farmers. In our Absolutely Addictive column, we always feature some of our favorite podcasts which pick up intercultural topics. Let us listen to the Here on Earth podcast. This is a very interesting episode about how solar radios and coffee can be joined to make the world a better place.
Remember the thrill of having your own transistor radio? Or better yet, maybe you remember when the family used to gather around the cathedral radio that sat on the living room table, listening in its warm glow. All over the developing world, right now, people are doing just that, 20 and 30 at a time. But instead of a Motorola, they're gathered around a brand new kind of radio, the FreePlay Lifeline radio. It's wind-up, solar-powered, and the first radio ever produced solely for humanitarian use. And for a man we're about to meet who dreams of empowering coffee farmers all over the developing world, it's just the tool he needs to make his dream come true. We talk about the power of radio to connect people across boundaries and what you can do to help the coffee widows in Rwanda rebuild their lives. With me in the studio is Peter Kettler, a coffee trader and founder of the Coffee Lifeline Project. Peter, welcome to Here on Earth.
Thanks, Jean. Thanks for having me.
This is interesting because radio, of course, is one of those community builders, but so is coffee.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. I mean, I've been in the coffee industry for about 15 years, and it's always been one of those vehicles for people to get together and talk. And whether it's about, you know, gathering in a cafe and talking about world news or family news or going to coffee industry retreats, people are always discussing. And coffee's been the engine for a lot of that.
And so what is the Coffee Lifeline Project exactly? And why have you decided to start it in Rwanda?
The Coffee Lifeline Project started about 3 years ago when I was sitting at my desk and I get these monthly reports of what's happening in every coffee-producing country around the world. It's talking about what's happening agriculturally, what's happening in the weather, politically. And at the very end of this one report, it said, tough times for Ethiopian coffee farmers. And it detailed what was happening at the time, which was 750,000 coffee farmers that make up the industry in Ethiopia. Coffee is traded as a commodity. So the price of coffee changes about every 3 minutes. And the final closing price is broadcast twice a day on Ethiopian national radio. Mm-hmm. But of the 750,000 coffee farmers, only 2% had access to a radio. So I thought, well, this is tragic, because without that price discovery, they were ripe to be taken advantage of by these middlemen called coyotes, who go around and gather up the picked cherries from the farmers every day and bring them to the processing mills. And they would go around and say, oh, no, you know, the price of coffee plummeted another 10 cents. And so here we have people at the very beginning of our supply chain who are unable to put food on their table for their families. And meanwhile, people are paying $3 or $3.50 at their local cafe for a mocha. And there just seemed to be a disconnect there for me.
Maybe we should think about this the next time we have coffee in one of our local coffee shops. But I'm afraid we have to come to an end here. Here on Earth is a podcast that is produced by the Wisconsin Public Radio. And of course, as always, you will find the link in our show notes. Okay, we are about to wrap up this show. Thank you very much for listening. If you're not fully subscribed yet, go to our website and you will find several ways of subscribing to the podcast so that you're sure never to miss our shows. And please do not forget to put your pin on our Frapper map by clicking on Add Yourself, also on the website. Our chief editor today was
Carsten Knese, and the host of the show was
Laurent Bachmann.
Stay tuned!